You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up tonight after 7, it's True Stories told live on the Moth Radio Hour. Included in tonight's stories, a blind man goes on an adventure to test his senses, a woman navigates the do's and don'ts of widowhood, and a humanitarian rescue worker is forced to decide whether he'll break the rules to save more lives. That's tonight after 7 on the Ideas Network.
Now, today, U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions recused himself from any investigation into possible Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. He did this after controversy emerged over his contacts with a Russian ambassador last year during the campaign. Democrats are calling for him to resign. Democrats and some Republicans had been calling out on him to recuse himself from those investigations. His office confirmed that he spoke to the Russian ambassador to the United States last year, even though he told senators during his January confirmation hearing that he didn't talk to Russia during the presidential campaign.
If there is any evidence that anyone affiliated with the Trump campaign communicated with the Russian government in the course of this campaign, what will you do?
Senator Franken, I'm not aware of any of those activities. I have been called a surrogate at a time or two in that campaign, and I did not have communications with the Russians, and I'm unable to comment on it.
A spokesperson for Jeff Sessions told the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post that he spoke to the Russian ambassador twice last year before the presidential election, once during the Republican National Convention and later from his Senate office.
Rebecca Royfe joins us now to look at this issue from an ethics perspective. She's a professor of law at the New York Law School. Rebecca, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure.
Well, you've looked at prosecutors and when they can recuse themselves. Before we get into the specifics of this case, what are the things that someone should consider when deciding whether or not to recuse themselves from a case that they're somehow involved in?
Well, any prosecutor is expected to be disinterested, and any prosecutor should recuse themselves whenever they think they have a personal connection to the matter that makes it difficult for them to act in that kind of impartial way that's required of prosecutors. This is kind of a special case, obviously, because the Attorney General is so close to the White House, and there's so many political considerations. One thing we know about any prosecution is it should never be influenced by any kind of political or partisan concern. So when you decide when and whether to prosecute an individual, it shouldn't be a political determination. And there are a series of laws, ethical rules, and kind of structural, sort of almost historical norms that protect that. So that's what we're talking about here with Jeff Sessions. It's really about preserving prosecutorial disinterestedness.
Well, let's give a listen now to Attorney General Sessions saying that he was going to recuse himself from investigations involving Russia's potential influence in the American election.
Mm-hmm. My staff recommended recusal. They said that since I had involvement with the campaign, I should not be involved in any campaign investigation. I have studied the rules and considered their comments and evaluation. I believe those recommendations are right and just. Therefore, I have recused myself in the matters that deal with the Trump campaign.
So from those comments, that really isn't even taking into consideration the kind of the headlines today about him having met with the Russian ambassador and allegations that there was perjury. He's saying, and this is what some people were saying even before these allegations, he was involved with the campaign, therefore he should step aside from the investigation.
I mean, that's right. So the Department of Justice regulation on this, there used to be a statute, the Ethics in Government Act in 1978, which came right after the Whitewater scandal. But after that law was allowed to sunset, Department of Justice put in these regulations, and that regulation says that if someone has a personal or political relationship with any person or organization that's involved in the conduct that's subject to the investigation, then that person should recuse. So he's almost quoting that language. And a lot of critics had said way before this information came out that just because of his connection to President Trump and his clear involvement in the campaign, that he should have recused himself back then. And it's only after these recent revelations about his contact with the Russian ambassador that the Republican senators and congressmen really jumped on board, and I think that's the pressure that pushed him to say what he said this afternoon.
Things are a bit weird, though. I mean, this will go to a Justice Department employee who had been there before the Trump administration, but they're still part of the executive branch now. Is there something about people being part of this administration, whether a direct appointee of the new president or not, that makes it a bit awkward to be investigating this case?
I think it makes it completely awkward, and that's why in the past there has been no question when there's an investigation that involves officials all the way up to the president that the a special prosecutor is appointed, and I think that's what should happen here.
Do you think that will happen, and who would have to take the initiative to appoint that special prosecutor?
Well, the initiative is generally taken by the Attorney General, or here the Acting Attorney General, to do so. I mean, there can certainly be Congress can certainly put pressure on the White House to do that, but that's the way it would happen. Do I think it's going to happen? From the way things are going, honestly, it looks like what happens is when the political pressure is extreme enough, that's when the administration acts. So unless we get to that point, no, I think that they won't.
Talking to Rebecca Roife from the New York Law School, looking at Attorney General Jeff Sessions, revelations today about conversations he'd had with the Russian ambassador during the presidential campaign, apparently conflicting with statements he'd made during his Senate confirmation hearings. Rebecca, people are throwing the word perjury around. It's a serious accusation. What do you make of that potential charge here? Are his statements serious enough and contradictory enough to warrant a charge of perjury?
You know, I don't think so. Federal perjury law makes it such that there has to be a very clear lie, you know, just to put it bluntly. The person has to clearly have been backed into a corner where they say something explicitly untrue. And here, Senator Sessions has already offered an excuse, whether you believe that excuse or not, about how he understood the question or what he understood the question to mean. And I think that'll make a perjury prosecution impossible. There are, there are certain consequences that come from misleading Congress, but that's not perjury.
So there's wiggle room here, clearly, for a potential perjury investigation.
Right. He claims that he was acting as in his capacity as the part of the Senate and not as part of the campaign when he met with the ambassador, and that he thought the question had to do with the campaign. Now, when you read the question, it's actually very odd because nobody asked him that question. Senator Franken didn't say, "Did you meet with any representatives of the Russian government?" So it's very odd that he volunteered that information at that point.
And you said, short of perjury, there might be lesser consequences to misleading the Senate in this case. What would those be?
Well, I mean, I don't really know. I know that there is some historical precedent for this. Nixon's Attorney General Richard Kleindienst, he was actually brought up on indicted for perjury for lying to Congress, and then he ultimately pled to a misdemeanor of misleading Congress. And I haven't looked up this law to see exactly what would be involved and whether it's still on the books, but maybe there could be something like that. I just don't think that there's a perjury charge that could actually go forward in this case.
On the wider issues of Russian influence on the American election and the different kinds of investigations that can go on, we mentioned something from the Attorney General's office, an independent prosecutor looking into this. People also talked about various kinds of congressional investigations into this. What kind of options do you see out there?
Yes, of course, there could be a congressional investigation. The best kind, of course, would be a bipartisan congressional investigation. That could happen. At this point, it's hard to see exactly what's gonna happen. I think that the recent events have changed the landscape a little bit, but you know how things can move so quickly. It's not clear that this is giving anybody enough political incentive to actually start some kind of investigation.
We're talking to Rebecca Roifey from the New York Law School about calls from congressional lawmakers for U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions, some calling him to resign, and he has just announced that he's recusing himself from investigations into Russian influence in U.S. politics and last year's presidential campaign in particular.
And we're taking your calls now at 800-642-1234. Do you think Jeff Sessions should resign? Are you happy that he recused himself? What would you like to see happen with an investigation into Russian interference with the 2016 presidential election? You can call in with your thoughts and your questions at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're picking up our discussion now with Rebecca Roifey from the New York Law School about criticism of U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions over his meetings with the Russian ambassador last year, which he declined to mention in his confirmation hearings in January.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you make of all this? Are you happy with the Attorney General's decision to recuse himself from federal investigations into possible Russian interference in the U.S. elections last year? What do you think of calls from some critics, mainly Democrats, saying that he should resign because he had misled the Senate? Do you agree or disagree with those calls? Do you have questions for a guest about what's going on here? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to Jim on the line in Dubuque, Iowa. Jim, hi.
Hi. I think there's little reason to believe that he was attempting to be misleading. If they wanted to find somebody who committed perjury, they should not have to look very far. James Clapper obviously committed perjury and was not pursued for it. I think maybe they should investigate the people who are saying that 17 intelligence agencies agreed that there was interaction with the Russian intelligence, because that's implying that the DEA and the Coast Guard were also investigating this and agreed with those conclusions.
Jim, thanks for the call. And Rebecca, he's not too worried about these allegations. And it seems like there's a partisan reaction to a lot of this. Does that get in the way of actually trying to solve this in accordance with the law?
I think that things are so charged now that inevitably it does. From my perspective, it should be important for both Democrats and Republicans to make sure that any investigation has no appearance of impropriety. So if there's no question about this, if this is all made up, if there's no problem with the campaign and its contact with Russia, then what would be wrong with appointing, having a special bipartisan committee of Congress or having a special prosecutor? It seems like there's no cost to Republicans in that, and there's so much to gain in terms of legitimacy of the system, especially in these times of charged partisan political feuds.
I've seen some Republicans in the Senate and elsewhere saying that sounds okay, but then you end up with this witch hunt. We're digging, we're fishing for things, whether or not they're related directly to this case. Even if you don't find solid evidence, you can create a bad impression on the public, even if there's nothing really wrong there. Is there a risk of that?
Well, I mean, certainly there's a risk of that. The Ethics in Government Act was allowed to sunset in part because of the Whitewater investigation, and the sense among some Democrats that that's what happened in the investigation of Bill Clinton. But, I think if the investigation is circumscribed and really carefully delineated, that there would be a possibility to have this just be an investigation about this one particular issue, look into it, and then, if nothing emerges, then nothing emerges. And then doesn't the administration benefit from that in terms of getting rid of all of these kind of swirling rumors about, their legitimacy and their contacts to Russia?
Go back to our callers. Thanks for that call. Patrick is with us now in Evansville. Patrick, hi.
Hi.
What do you think?
Well, what I think is, as Attorney General, he was under oath when he was asked about any contact with Russians at any time. And whether it's been proven or not, this opportunity to just recuse himself just seems just a little like what citizen in the United States, if they perjure themselves, it just gets, that's a crime.
Patrick,
you get,
Gotcha, Patrick. Thanks for the call. Rebecca, you were saying you didn't think this rose to the level of perjury, though he was testifying under oath.
You know, I don't. However, I completely understand your listener's viewpoint, at least in one respect, that, you know, he made a statement. His staff had a chance to, so unlike, you know, if you're testifying in court, your staff had a chance to review that statement and supplement it, I would think. The normal practice is his Sessions' staff would have read what he wrote. And so if he had meant to say something else, they would have had a chance to clarify. It does seem odd, not perjury, but it does seem odd that he wouldn't have clarified, you know, yes, I met with the Russian ambassador, but, you know, not in my capacity as a surrogate for the campaign. He could have said that, and that would have just made it clearer. There's lingering concerns that I agree with him. I don't think that it amounts to perjury, but I do think it's concerning from the perspective of any citizen that he should have said that and not have clarified what he meant.
Thanks for that call, Patrick. Victoria is with us next in Duluth, Minnesota. Victoria, hi.
Hi. My comment is that, you know, there seems to be, I definitely think a special independent panel is required to dig into this Russian question. And I guess in light of, you know, the other guy, Flynn, who resigned, and I don't know, there seems to be a whole lot of questions about what kind of contact was happening with the Trump campaign or even now, during the transition. And it seems like there's just a whole lot going on with this Russian question. I guess as a regular citizen, I'm a little confused about why there's such a large amount of contact with Russian government officials during the campaign and the transition. Maybe somebody knows there's a reason for that. I can't see it myself.
Victoria, thanks for the call. Rebecca, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think citizens are rightfully concerned, and that's why I think there should be bipartisan interest in clarifying what's been going on, because nothing good comes of this. This is just a blow to the legitimacy of the system. And I know that there is a lot of tension between Democrats and Republicans, but beyond that, there's concern about the democratic structure and systems that we have in place, and they have to be, they have to work. So to me, it seems like there are enough allegations that everybody on both sides of the political fence should want to see this clarified. There just doesn't seem to me to be any incentive not to have some kind of bipartisan effort to look into what actually went on here.
Thanks for the call. We're talking to Rebecca Roife, professor of law at the New York Law School, talking about Attorney General Jeff Sessions. He's recused himself from any future investigations into potential Russian interference in the United States elections last year. Some calls from Democrats for him to resign over contact he'd had with the Russian ambassador and his answers to questions in his Senate confirmation. Back to our callers now. Ron is on the line in Madison. Ron, hi.
Hello. I just had a question. I'd like to get your thoughts on how this compares to Loretta Lynch's conversation with Bill Clinton and her not recusing herself from an investigation of Hillary. It seems hypocritical that the Democrats are, going after him for this, and there was no outcry from them when the Attorney General at that time had a conversation that obviously Bill claimed was only about their grandchildren, which, really, we're supposed to believe that?
Ron, thanks for the call. Yeah, back during the campaign, Hillary Clinton's emails under investigation, then Attorney General, lengthy interaction apparently with Bill Clinton. I believe now Attorney General Sessions had raised criticisms and warnings about that. How does that compare, Rebecca?
I think that's a good point. First of all, Loretta Lynch did, in a way, step aside. She decided to defer to top career DOJ officials in their determination of what would be the appropriate reaction to the email investigation. So it's not that she did nothing. she did. She didn't appoint a special prosecutor, but she did essentially recuse herself from that decision-making process, just to be clear. When she said that I will rely on James Comey's recommendation, what she was saying is I'm not going to make the determination because of the appearance of impropriety. So in some ways, I don't know if there's as much of a hypocrisy as your listener was suggesting. That said, that was a completely, that she should not have had that conversation. And once she had that conversation, I think it was appropriate for her to step aside. Now, should she have done something more, like appointed a special prosecutor under those circumstances? I'm not sure. And that does bring up an important question, which is, there is a cost to appointing a special prosecutor. The cost you suggested, that people think it turns into a witch hunt, but also, this is our elected official. This is the appointed official. There is some democratic accountability here. So it has to be a significant issue to call for a recusal. I definitely think that Sessions' connection to the campaign and now possible connections, with the contact to Russia, is certainly enough to warrant that recusal. Whether or not Loretta Lynch's conversation with Bill Clinton was also, I don't really know. And that really hinges on what was in the content of that conversation, which unfortunately we don't know.
We'll leave it there, Rebecca. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
That was law professor Rebecca Roife. She joined us to talk about calls for U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions to recuse himself from investigations, which he has done, to resign from some, which he has not. More coming up in the news.
Coming up tomorrow on Central Time, we hear the latest installment in our WPR news series on road conditions and road funding in Wisconsin.
And on Food Friday, cooking with cast iron. That's tomorrow here on Central Time.